Hello, welcome to the show.
Hello.
This is Suicide Pact.
And is it?
We just got back from Sopranos Con.
Hey!
And we saw a bunch of hairy Italian men in sweatsuits.
Tracksuits.
Velour sweatsuits.
Oh, God, I love a good maroon velour
tracksuit. I want one of those. I really do.
It genuinely looks good. I think it awoke something in me, deep down in my jeans.
Hold on.
What?
Back up.
What?
It doesn't look good.
Wait, I know. I think
it doesn't look good on like a big fat man with like a wife beater on underneath it.
I genuinely think it does. I think it like suits them.
You know what it is? Does it suit them or are they just wearing it so confidently?
Yeah, I don't know. Whatever it is, I'm into it.
Maybe you're right.
A tracksuit is...
A tracksuit looks good, like an Adidas tracksuit. Uniform, it's slimming.
Yeah,
you could put on a few, you know, Thanksgiving pounds, really fill it out. But you get a big fat guy in like a velour, like a maroon tracksuit.
I kind of like that too, with like the gold chain.
What's the difference, sweatsuit, tracksuit?
I don't say sweatsuit, and I would never say sweatsuit. I don't know.
I can picture the difference. A sweatsuit is like gray,
like the sweatpants material.
Yeah, and then like a sweatshirt, like
Yeah, people haven't worn that since the 80s. That's like what...
Welcome back to fashion time.
1980s marathon runners would wear. You can really see their disgusting sweat. Have you ever seen Marathon Man?
Mm-mm.
It's fucking crazy. Dustin Hoffman is a runner, and then he gets kidnapped by a Nazi dentist.
Is it good?
I don't...
That sounds great.
I don't
know.
Sounds
like some kind of weird...
I watched
90s indie film.
No, well, it's from the 70s, I think, late 70s, early 80s.
I watched thought it, that was like a sci-fi movie or something.
I watched it drunk in Bryant Park, and that's all I remember. I think I'm missing some huge plot points here, but I know that he runs a lot, and then he gets kidnapped by a Nazi dentist, and there's like a torture scene. It's wild. He's like ripping out his teeth, I think. Was this a dream I had? I think this is real. Anyway, I don't know if I liked it.
Okay. Well, we went to Sopranos Con and we ate a bunch of cannolis and we saw Junior and we saw Pio Mai and we saw Big Pussy and I saw a Big Pussy before I even left the house. Boom!
Hey, who? Wait.
I'm the Roastmaster General.
Who, me?
You got a big ass clam.
Wait, hang on.
Big
me?
Sloppy, goofy. You're a goofy twat.
What the fuck, man? Just kidding. You haven't seen it.
No. But it was fun.
Sopranos Con was very fun.
I just want to touch on Sopranos Con so that we can...
Because that's a big thing. That's a big event that happened in our lives.
We can stick the hashtag underneath this episode so people click on it.
Yeah.
I'm all about marketing these days.
Yeah.
Because that last episode, we titled it, you know, Fist Fucking Catherine's Big Pussy, and it got... an insane amount of listens.
Yeah, you fucking perverts. I mean, listen, I would be drawn the same way you guys were, but wow. We got, by naming our last episode, live audio of us having sex, we got more listens in the first 24 hours than we usually do in a week to our new episodes. And that's, that really says something about the type of society that we live in.
I was talking to some of our friends about that, and they were saying, you actually should do live audio of you having sex, and I think we should. Not right
now,
because I have a headache, but
who said that?
Sometime in the future.
You have a headache?
Yeah.
Too damn bad. We're having sex now.
No.
Yes.
We have a show to go to.
No. We got time. We have said, listen, I know some people, I wonder if some people were like genuinely angry enough that that didn't happen, that they were like, we've been tricked. I'm never listening to this goddamn podcast again.
Yeah, I wish you could see the analytics and see how many people skipped around.
Yeah. Just jump through like, wait, what? Hang on. Well, we did say in one of the earliest episodes that we are constantly having sex throughout.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, we're having sex right now, as far as you know.
As far as you know.
Are you bleeding?
I cut open something on my foot and now I'm bleeding.
You cut open something on your foot?
I had a scratch on the top of my foot because I got new shoes and
Touch it. Stop!
Touch
Put
it.
That down.
You're bleeding too.
Put that
You're on
down.
Your period.
No, it's going away.
Give me a tampon. No. I put it on my foot.
No. Gross.
All right. Well, what's going on this week? It's Thanksgiving?
It's Thanksgiving or Thanks Patrick's Day, as my senile grandpa called it once, and we continue to make fun of him for it.
Because you guys just drink?
No, I don't know. He was like losing his mind, and one day I think it was actually
a fucking idiot.
That was like a St. Pat-
you dumb piece of shit.
St. Patrick's Day, and he like
let's all spit on Grandpa.
Leaned over to my friend and said, "Happy Thanks Patrick's Day." And yeah, we
then
all
he
still laugh. Yeah, I mean, kind of.
Yeah, you're on your way back to.
I'm going to the Poconos.
To the Poconos.
Going to Poconos.
To eat pie.
Nobody talks like that in the Poconos, but I do. Yeah, I'm very excited. Am I? Yes, I am.
Hey, now.
I am. I'm taking a midnight bus to the Poconos.
And I'm going to have weed.
What are you, yeah, what are you
going to
do for
I'm going to eat a bunch. I have a whole thing planned.
Yeah.
I'm going to eat a bunch of weed, and I'm going to watch that Lizzo movie, because I got the
There's
screener.
A Lizzo movie?
The Hustler
oh,
movie.
Oh, Hustlers. Okay.
Hustlers?
That's, yeah. Because you want to see her tits?
Yeah, part. That's part of it.
Yeah.
I just think it'll be bad.
Can I
and
say?
Fun.
Lizzo has become a dangerous follow for me on Instagram. I'm just scrolling through cats on the train, and then all of a sudden, her ass, I mean, you only see a fourth of it.
But how do you know, let me ask you this.
What?
How do you know it's her ass and not the surface of the moon? Because I know we're all about body positivity, but Jesus Christ, the craters
look,
on that
we
thing.
Hang on. We can promote body positivity and say, hey, good for you that
yeah.
you did that. And I can also acknowledge that it's quite large,
yeah.
right?
Well,
and
large
that's
is one
okay.
thing. It's fine if it's large. It's just like, well, I don't know. I don't know where I stand in on the body positivity, you know, spectrum.
I mean, you and I are pro
I think
shame
I have Asperger's.
In general.
She has Asperger's. We're what? Yeah, we're pro shame.
Pro shame. This is a pro suicide, pro
but here's
shame
the,
podcast.
Yeah, why do you can be body positive, but also you know what? Just don't put it in front of my family. Whatever you do behind, whatever
why,
you want to love,
why
whoever's
do you
body
have to rub it in my face.
Right. You can love your own body at home.
Yeah.
I just don't need to look at it.
Hmm.
I don't know. I love Lizzo. I don't know why I'm
yeah, she,
being mean.
She rules.
It's just, you know, I'm orientated towards
that's
cynical.
Of society.
Right.
Society has made us love tiny little butts.
Uh-huh.
Teeny tiny little butts that you can't even see. And it's just jarring. That's
right.
all. Then we're not used to it. That's all. I'm ready to embrace Lizzo's huge, huge ass. I just need
Just need a second.
Yeah.
Yeah. I loved Lizzo when she first broke out.
Yeah.
You know, when her ass first broke out. But then the music was just like, you know, poppy and fun.
Yeah.
And the rapping was great. But then it quickly became all about body positivity. And I know that she gets behind that shit, but I think it was all like hoisted upon her. It's
yeah.
like every interview was like, hey, so you're fat.
You're
it's like, she's got some great songs that aren't about
isn't
her,
it brave
her big dumper.
Of you to exist. And she wasn't doing that. I remember in interviews, I think, didn't she say like, listen, I'm obviously like proud of myself. I'm not ashamed of my body, but I'm not. Why do we keep bringing this up?
I think right now she's fully embraced. Because it helps. It
yeah.
helps, you know.
Of course.
Propel her forward.
I do think that's cool. We made jokes before, but I do think that's cool. And I do think she's very beautiful. Okay.
Well, I mean, yeah, sure. All right. I don't know.
I don't know. I think.
Well, I guess the reason I hesitate is I'm just like, I just thought she was such a great musician.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, it's like, well, but she looks like this.
But
and
do you want to fuck her?
Yeah.
If you don't, you're a bigot.
I threw that album on, and I was like, this album rules.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, the whole conversation shifted to how big she was or... Right, like, do you want to fuck her? Don't you want to fuck her? Everybody should legally have to want to fuck her.
Yeah.
And it's like, I just like that song,
yeah.
you know?
That is some sexist shit that happens.
Yeah.
It's like, what a male artist, you don't have to worry about, like, wanting to fuck them or not.
Right.
Like
nobody was like,
Roy
Biggie
Orr-
was so sexy,
yeah. Yeah.
and he didn't give a shit, and he just sashayed into the room. It's like, no, he just was good at...
Yeah.
Hip hop, and that's why we liked him.
Like Roy Orbison is one of the ugliest people of all time.
Yeah.
And he was like, it doesn't matter.
I hate to break it to you.
What?
He passed away.
What?
Yeah.
What? Was he in the plane crash?
The day the music died or whatever?
Did he die the day the music died? 9/11.
Yeah, he died in 9/11.
The day the music died.
I mean, there was plenty of music in New Jersey when all those Muslims were celebrating.
Don't do this. Don't. Okay, remember at Sopranos Con, the guy from Green Book was there?
Yeah.
And he, the writer, screenwriter of Green Book, who had something to do with the Sopranos.
He was in the Sopranos.
He was in fucking.
I'm pretty sure.
Holy shit. The Sopranos.
Is that true? Now I don't want to.
He definitely had something. He either wrote for the Sopranos or was in it.
Yeah.
Goddamn, every Italian actor in Hollywood was in The Sopranos at one point.
Oh, yeah.
It's crazy.
Well, there's all kinds of like weird extra people in The Sopranos, too, like Lin-Manuel whatever.
Yeah.
Ocasio-Cortez. He's in it. He's like a bellhop.
Oh, God. Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, people pop up all the time. They should have named that show Crazy Rich Italians.
that's the new one with Gandolfini's son. Yeah.
It was when you go to a con like that, it is, and maybe they don't care, but it is sad seeing the people who have a huge line for the meet and greet and autograph thing at their table, and then the people who are like, I was so and so, and they're just sitting there, nobody's
during the
meet.
Well, the big Q&A where everybody came out on stage, a guy would come out and nobody would applaud, and he'd be like, do you know who I am? And everybody would like, be silent.
Don't
be
do
like,
that to yourself, man.
One time at a coffee shop at episode in season eight, or not eight, there's only six, but in season four, I said to Tony, do you want an espresso? And everybody's like, oh my God! The real like fans.
One guy came out, real cocky like that. And everyone was like, huh? He's like, that's my signature line. And
I remember when I said, here's your cannoli. Remember? And I haven't done anything since.
Your coffee, Mr. Soprano.
And then Hesh died on stage.
Oh, man.
He is senile.
Hesh, they wheeled him out.
Yeah.
And he tried to do a Q&A with a very high-functioning...
What? You're going to have to speak up.
...microphone system. And it just didn't... He couldn't hear anything. And then... What did he say that was very uncomfortable?
Oh, I think... Well... Somebody asked him a long question, and then he said, does anybody have any questions?
And people didn't want to laugh because it was sad, but it also was funny. So it was just like a...
Well, these guys are so old, and then they have them all day
signing
autographs. They were
old in the 90s.
Yeah.
Uncle June, though, is thriving and an amazing singer. And that was my... unironic absolute favorite part of the whole weekend, him singing in Italian.
He sang on the series, and I remember saying to you, oh, he's singing, he's really good. And I was hoping I didn't oversell him, but I undersold him. He was
great. He's amazing. Yeah.
He was that song, the pizza pie song.
Oh yeah.
That's
Amore.
He sang that song. That was really great.
Like a gay tarantella.
Is that part of the song?
Yeah, it's one of the lines.
Oh, that's cool.
Do you know what tarantella is?
It's a type of cheese.
It's a dance. It is originally...
Like voguing.
It's like from Italy, when you were bitten by a poisonous tarantula, you'd have to do this crazy dance to sweat it out, to sweat out the venom.
Mm-mm.
Yes.
That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, you just start kicking your limbs all around to sweat it out. Huh. Tarantella. It's a tarantula.
What the fuck?
Tarantula
bite. Is it a good dance? Does it look cool?
I don't know.
That's like Irish step dancing.
Have we talked about this before?
Maybe. I don't know.
That is so fucking funny. That Irish step dancing is just like when the British were patrolling. Well, you can go ahead.
Well, you know it better. You say it.
This is what I heard, and maybe I'm wrong, that when the British occupied Ireland and they would like patrol the streets, there was no dancing, it was like Footloose rules, but they wanted to dance so bad to express themselves, so they'd put their arms rigid at their sides and just, because you could only see in the window like from the waist up.
Who told us this? Because this funny and it's got to be a lie.
So they just like rigidly would kick their feet like, you can't tell I'm dancing.
I gotta ask, because I have family members who do that shit. So yeah, that's
your dad is listening right now going, no, idiot. No,
you dummies. Why would they just go to the other room? Why would they stand in front of the window kicking their legs around? It is a dumbass way to dance, though. Like, move the rest of your limbs.
I did read that thing about the tarantella, though. I think that's true.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Or at least, you know, that's the lore that...
where it originated.
Maybe it's just a stupid fucking flailing dance. And
yeah.
They, you know, they had to...
They had to come up with a backstory in retrospect.
Right. I do love a good con.
Yeah.
You know, when you could just nerd out on a very specific thing.
It is cool.
You just go full in.
I know we shame people. Like last episode, we were making fun of people who love Disney.
By the way, I just got a Disney Disney Plus login.
What?
I mean, it's Sean's, but...
Sean, my friend Sean?
Yeah, yeah.
How'd you get it?
I post on Facebook. Does anybody have a Disney Plus pass? I gotta see this goddamn Baby Yoda. I mean, I gotta see it.
Ian.
There's so many memes. I feel like I'm not in the know. I don't know
nerd.
What's happening. Just when you think they're out, when they you think you're out, they pull you back in.
Mandalorian? Is that what it is? That's what you want to watch?
Uh-huh.
That's fine. Whatever.
I just need to see about the... Baby Yoda.
You need to see about it?
I gotta go see about a Baby Yoda.
Sorry, babe. I gotta go see about
a
Baby
Yoda. Never
come
home.
Well, fine. But anyway, we were making fun of super fans of Disney, which is different because it's like an evil corporation. But Sopranos Con was cool to... It's cool to see people ironic, whatever. It's like we thought we were... dressed up ironically, and then everyone else in tracksuits were taking it seriously.
I didn't
but of
feel
course,
ironic though. I just feel like it's just like, why don't you just jump in all the
exactly,
way? Jump
yeah.
in the deep end and just like be like, you like the show.
Yeah.
It's silly to go to a convention. It just
yeah.
the whole thing was awesome.
That's
sitting
what
in the Bing.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, the recreations and stuff. That's what I'm trying and failing to articulate is like, it's just fun.
It's so fun.
It was cool, and when you're there, nobody's better than anybody else. We all love it. We're all nerdy enough to be here.
Yeah, and these guys who, a lot of them who haven't worked in a long time, or even some that have worked, and just themselves love the role, or love the fact that they were involved in this show,
yeah.
get to like kind of relive it a little bit. And
yeah,
they all seem so happy.
And they
know?
Always talk about how proud Jimmy would be if he were here.
Yeah,
just like, oh,
isn't it kind of great though? I mean, not great, but. The fact that he's dead.
It's pretty great, the fact that he's dead.
He's not involved. Yeah, sure. If I had a time machine, I would go back and shoot John Lennon.
And then slit James
Gandolfini's throat.
Oh, God.
In front of his family. But no, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do that.
Okay.
That's a joke.
Okay.
All right? I wouldn't do that.
Okay.
What was I saying? Oh, but because, I mean, if he was there... It would have been kind of corny. Although, like, a
really?
Lot of the... Yeah.
I mean, in retrospect, now that he's dead, when you go, if he was there, it's like, how amazing would that be
if he was there?
But
if he was there, that would mean that he wasn't really working.
Yeah.
You want him to...
Yeah, there's no way he would be there,
thrive.
Right? Carmela wasn't there.
No.
The bigger... The
but
like
Adriana
Melfi.
Was there.
Yeah.
Well, Melfi... I was going to say, isn't she in The Irishman or something? But no, I'm confusing her with Artie Bucco's wife.
Oh,
she's
in The Irishman, and she was there.
Yeah, I know.
She's cool.
Right.
She's an artist,
Well, I think
too.
A lot of those people that were there live in New York.
Yeah.
So it's like, why not take a fucking car service over?
Yeah, and they're getting paid.
Yeah, I think they got paid a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, because some people paid... out
some people pay upwards of $800 or more than $800
to get the same experience that we got for
pretty much
free.
I mean, it's a little disorganized.
Yeah,
that email that came out afterwards is like,
who's the most Italian
guy? You got something to fucking say to
aggro
me
aggro
say it to my fucking face.
Yo, I heard some people may have been complaining, and I put my heart and soul into this, and no one can take that away from me. How much I love The Sopranos and how hard I worked for these people. It's like, all right, sorry, you were criticized.
Did you see the newest email where they're like, we will schedule a one-on-one conversation with
that
you?
That email that we got today should have been the original email. You know, some hothead fired off the first one and they were like, okay, Anthony.
Were you following the guys that ran the con?
No,
they're like true
not.
Blue.
Yeah, of course.
North Jersey
You
guys.
Have to be. Yeah.
But I thought they did a great job. But that being said, we didn't pay any money.
If I paid $800,
sure,
I might
you can go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
But we would never do that.
Of course not.
We should have had a booth, though. There's a few podcasts that had booths. But, I mean, we don't
Why
really...
would we have a booth?
Because we deserve it.
No, sure, but
you
at
deserve
Sopranos
a booth,
Con,
babe.
At Suicide Con, we can have all the
Hell yeah.
famous people who've killed themselves and all of that. Yeah, we could have it.
I mean, if we would have made this podcast something a little bit... The theme something a little bit more relatable, like The Sopranos, we could have had a booth. But instead, we went with
would
Suicide.
What the fuck would I be doing on a Sopranos
That's really
going to
blow
podcast.
Up. That's really going to... In this era of self-love and, you know,
and
self-care.
Don't say anything edgy.
Yeah, we're edgelords.
I guess we're just edgelords. I guess we're just too edgy.
We're just a couple of Louis J. Gomez's.
Hey, I guess if we don't become successful, it's because we're too edgy and
right.
for no other reason.
Right. We're too
sorry,
much.
Sorry, you're triggered.
Too funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry. This podcast is called... Triggered, and then it's like, and then it's called like liberal tears, and then it's like, hey,
snowflake cuck bitches,
right?
Here's the cool Jesus meme,
and Catherine's like, you're gonna tell me I can't say the N-word? Well,
stop it,
buckle up,
stop.
What Catherine wanted to pitch this idea where we
stop.
Where she just says the N-word for
didn't
a full
you,
hour.
Didn't you say that? Did you say this on the last podcast where you came up with a character and it's just guy
oh, yeah,
who says
yeah.
the N-word?
Yeah, do you guys like characters?
This is guy who says the
this
N-word.
This next character is says the N-word. It's not me. It's a character. I really want to do... I also want to do a character... You see this person at open mics a lot who just says something wildly unfunny and then goes, these are jokes, people.
Jeez, and it's like, that's not what we're reacting, not reacting to.
Or they're like... I don't know. They'll say a terrible joke about the subway, and they go, oh, we got a lot of fans of the subway here. Okay.
I've done that.
Yeah. I was talking about you.
No, I don't do that. You know why? It sucks, but it's like the TED Talk comment, which is like the hackiest thing ever. It's like, I'm just doing a TED Talk up here if like nobody's laughing.
Yeah,
or
if nobody laughs, it just turns into a TED Talk.
Or if you go on a rant or something and you're just like giving a speech, you say it's like a TED Talk and it's hacky because everyone does it over and over and over again. But
that's what hack is. Hack works.
It works.
That's what hack is.
It fucking works. And sometimes
it's part of the definition.
When you're floundering and you go like, and if you bomb, like I have a stupid joke about dentist being a piece of shit, and then like I have sunk to the level of if nobody laughs, like, oh, what are you all dentists? Because people usually laugh at that, and I hate myself for it.
Well, what I'm saying is like the people that I'm picturing in my head are just terrible.
Yeah.
And then it's like, and they do that a lot. You can see the frustration building in them, and they think they take every... They put all the blame on you as the audience member. And it's like, what you're doing sucks.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. I feel in no position to criticize anybody. I bombed my dick off last night.
Dude, I've been bombing my dick off,
too. So bad. I don't know if people like us talking about comedy or not. I'll make this quick. I stood on stage for 10 minutes last night with a microphone in my hand and talked to an audience that looked... frankly uncomfortable and sad for me because people started having a conversation. It was going fine, and then people started having like the loudest conversation, but they were so far off to the side in the darkness, like I couldn't be like, hey, oh, what's your deal? I don't
go to
your
job
and fuck your mom in the mouth. I don't know what you're supposed to say. So I just tried to power through, and it was to the point where people are looking at me like they're trying to listen, but then they turn their heads to go like, what's going on over there? And I just...
God, I hate that.
I don't know. I don't know why I didn't acknowledge it, because I just saw it going even further off the rails, and it's just... They looked sad for me, and I was just saying words. I was up there... It's such a scary feeling.
When
where,
you leave your body?
Yes. So your mouth is saying all these things, just like memorized words that you have just like falling out of your mouth, and then your brain's having this whole like... It's just going like, like
run, run.
Get off the fucking stage.
You just start swinging.
What are you doing?
Yeah, you kind of start to feel like you're like slightly above yourself.
Yeah.
Like your body is,
I mean, that's what like multiple personality disorder is. It's when you were a child, you experienced extreme trauma.
Oh, yeah.
So you left yourself and became somebody else. And you can almost feel yourself having, I mean, traumatic stress disorder like in the moment. You can feel like forming.
Oh, my God.
Because your body, I've heard somebody talking about this a long time ago. You naturally want to be part of a tribe because that is how we survived.
Yeah.
And when you start to feel ostracized by a large group,
yeah,
that is extreme. Your body tells you to immediately stop doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
Do anything in your power to ingratiate yourself to these people, because if you're on the outside of the tribe, you're not going to survive in the wilderness. If they banish you, you know, to the jungle, you're fucked.
When I used
to
get on...
you're feeling all that caveman stuff.
Oh, God. Why do we do this then? Like, doesn't it seem like such a...
Because we were molested.
It's...
I don't know.
It's kind of like why suicide is so disturbing. It's like... it goes against every human instinct to survive. It's like, why are you doing this?
Mm-hmm.
Why would you do that to yourself? I mean, I know why, but anyway.
Yeah.
Why do we feel the urge to do something that is people's like number
it's
one
risk
fear?
Reward, you know?
Yeah, I guess.
Because you get to you witness people that you love do it well.
Mm-hmm.
But every, you know, I wanted to write a bit about this for a long time, but nobody really loves a comedian. There's always going to be a big group of people that fucking hate them.
Most
for some
people
reason.
Will hate you.
It's not like music. When you go see a band and you don't like the band, like if we went and saw, I don't know, a bluegrass band and it just wasn't our speed.
Mm-hmm.
Although I like bluegrass. So
me too.
It's a bad example. I don't know. What's a genre of music we don't like? Like screamo or something?
Yeah.
And we're just like, boy, that wasn't for me. That's how you leave the night.
Yeah.
But with comedy, if somebody stands on stage and tells a joke that... you feel like is eating up your time.
Yeah.
You want them dead.
it's so,
you think about...
it's so personal.
I always think about throwing the beer bottle at their head. I want to explode right next to their head just as a warning for them to leave.
Why?
What
Why
is
do
that?
We feel that
what
way?
People don't like not like Sarah Silverman. They want her banished.
Yeah.
They want her gone.
And I think
wiped
that,
off of the face of the earth, or whoever.
That's
pick your,
true.
Pick your comic.
Any popular comedian, and by like popular meaning you have the most fans, but popular also means that more people, most people, hate you.
Yeah.
When
you got to learn to love that, though.
When you have like a very specific, like niche audience, I mean, even like Louis, who was very mainstream, so many people hate. I mean, before
he did nothing wrong.
Most people hate you, man.
Yeah. I wanted to talk to you about this because, you know, I've been in a, you know, rut lately too. I did our show and I bombed my dick off, and that was so brutal. That was the same thing. Like I started getting like tunnel vision and I was like, I'm doing so poorly, and there's a million reasons.
Yeah.
I think the audience, I was realizing as I was on stage that I knew a lot of them and they knew a lot of my material. I hadn't done, I wasn't doing new shit.
Yeah.
Bunch of stuff, but felt horrible. And then I had another show where I ate a dick and I've been like really down about stand up. And then I went to a show the other night in Brooklyn and everybody on the show, almost everybody on the show, had a complete meltdown on stage. I think it's the weather changing. I think it's this like, this is like a real suicidal time of year.
When it gets dark, it suddenly gets dark out at like 4 o'clock. It moves internal.
But it's that. I think it's also, there's markers throughout the year and we're hitting holidays again. So you start to take stock in what you've accomplished. And there's so many people who are like, well, I haven't gotten my late night set. Although I saw somebody who has a late night set fucking melt down on stage.
Wow.
Like crazy. Another person on that same show, and this was a relatively fun show.
Yeah.
The audience showed up for it, but everybody was, I think, just in this
so
like.
There was a decent
self-loathing
audience? Like as in numbers wise?
Decent as in like 12 people
or
something.
Yeah, that would be great for our show. That'd be great.
Smiling and making eye contact and laughing when necessary.
Okay.
One person went on stage, had a meltdown, got off stage and was hosting and just. Brought the next comedian up, but like was already out the door before the left his phone and his coat at the bar and just ran away.
Wow.
Yeah. I think everybody is just like had it right now. Everybody's bombing every time they go up.
Does it make you feel better a little bit?
It made me feel great because I did really well.
Yeah, fuck you, idiots.
Yeah.
I get that. You know what my worst, my reaction when I have a bomb, I think I'm okay. Not to brag, but I think I'm okay when I have a bomb. Like last night I was texting you, like, I feel like I'm going to puke, I'm going to die, but like it subsided and I'm like, I'll figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
It's just embarrassing for the specific people in the room. Thank God I don't know any of them personally. I was just thinking like those people is their first interaction with me. They just saw that and now they forever think I suck. Like think I can't even handle myself, which I couldn't.
But they're
not
going to think about you again.
Hopefully not.
Unless, you know, you blow up and they're like, I saw her eat a dick.
She fucking
but then
sucked.
That's okay.
Yeah.
If like you present them with something new that's good.
You know what I can't handle? The only reason I run out of the room when I bomb, well, obviously just to not linger there, that's embarrassing, but I can't handle hearing the next comic go up and get those laughs that couldn't. I just have to, like, people try to talk to me as I'm leaving, and I'm like, no, okay, good night, bye, sorry.
The flip side of that, though, is being that comic that gets to recover the room after a bomb, and you're like,
I'm... I don't know. I haven't experienced that in a while. Last night, I don't know if he listens to this, but I hope he does. Lucian, I ran into Lucian after I bombed, and he was like, hey, how's it going? And I was just like, nah, la, 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 and just like walked out while he was still trying to talk to me. I couldn't be in the room.
Sure.
It was bad.
I actually can handle a bomb in front of a room full of strangers, but if one comedian that I respect is in the room, then I'm fucked for the night.
Yeah.
I can't recover. It makes you feel so bad.
Yeah, you want them to think you're good.
Right.
God. And we still have this thing, even after doing it for so long, is like you see somebody bomb and you go, oh, maybe they're not
good. Yeah, maybe they suck.
Yeah, which is crazy.
And your brain plays this trick on you where you're hearing jokes that you like,
yeah,
but because the audience is refusing to laugh, you go, oh, maybe that's a bad joke.
Well, jokes are bad if nobody laughs at them. Like, it's the, like, tree falling in the forest thing.
Yeah, but everybody bombs, though.
Right, but as soon as you tell a joke that is usually funny and nobody laughs at it, like, psychologically, it's just not funny. It's not funny anymore. I don't know. Like, you can be the most clever person in the world, but as soon as you're reciting your jokes to silence, like, I really think if you're somebody seeing this comedian for the first time, you're going to be influenced by that and just go, oh, that person's not funny.
Yeah, well,
unless you have to be so strong mentally to go, wait, this person is a genius,
right,
and everyone else in the room is wrong. You have to fight against this, like, sort of groupthink thing.
Well, a brilliant comedian, somebody who's really perfected whatever art form, whatever the fuck you want to call it, won't recite their jokes. They'll say,
they'll
stop and they'll get involved with the audience. That's what I always think about when I look at an audience that's just not giving it up for anybody.
Yeah.
And then I always say to myself, if I was a better comedian, or sometimes I attempt to do it, but I would go on stage and get to the bottom of this. I would start digging in. I would talk to everybody. I would find out, like, what are you fucking Swedish? You know, why aren't you?
What are you fucking Swedish?
It's always
Swedish?
Swedes. I mean, there's so many, because Swedes are such great people. They're sweet people, and they want to come to comedy shows when they get barked in.
They don't need comedy.
They don't understand what the fuck you're talking about. Yeah. They don't understand, like, they don't know what the crater's on Lizzo's ass. They don't know what that means.
I mean, you know what? Maybe we're being too harsh.
No, we're not. I'm not being harsh on Swedes. I'm just saying, like, some of the
Swedes is what Ian's saying.
Pop culture, they're not going to understand.
Yeah, no,
I know. Some of the slang, some of the vernacular.
I know. And that's also, I think, why I can recover from that bomb last night, because I know exactly what happened. It wasn't exactly, hey, these are my jokes, and they went, I hate those jokes. It was that I didn't have control of the room because people were talking and I wasn't acknowledging it. And then they feel like they're not in capable hands, mm-hmm, which is fair. And I wasn't like,
well, it's also just distracting.
Yeah, of course they're distracted. And then people, there's also drinks being taken, like drink orders being taken. It was just a mess. And I had just woken up, which I just want to add, I'm done working overnights. I had my last fucking overnight last night. I'm done working graveyard shifts.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much,
You're
Ian.
You'll be well rested and have a better attitude.
I hope. You know what I'm most afraid of?
Help around the house a little more.
No, none of that. Shit. Come on. I'm tiny. I eat bonbons. Look, that's my lot in life, Ian. I'm a teeny tiny.
All of my money.
I'm a microscopic little
lady. All of my money is wrapped up in bonbons. Hundreds of thousands of dollars.
I need them.
I have to sell plasma. She has got a 6-pack of bonbon habit a day.
What are bonbons? Is it chocolate
things?
I picture macaroons when I think bonbons.
I don't know what a macaroon is, so we're back to...
Oh, my God. Oh, how have I married someone who doesn't know what macaroons are?
Common law married.
Common law nothing. You know, what I'm most afraid of when I start working days and I start like sleeping nights and being a normal person.
Snakes.
Is snakes. I haven't been out during the day.
Yeah, you don't know what it's like out there.
In so long. Are there just snakes?
It's lousy
everywhere?
With snakes. New York is snake city.
Anyway. No, I'm scared that I won't be any different and then I'll have to face the fact that I'm just a fucking bummer of a
person.
Can
I tell you? Because I've already experienced
this.
It's
true.
I went from an overnight shift. No, it's not true.
Oh.
But you do have a bizarre, I think, like existential crisis that hits you because it's not immensely better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you also start to compare your life to the life you've been leading. That gets you depressed because you're like, oh shit, all that wasted time where I was so exhausted.
Oh,
you know?
No.
And also just the shift in general is taxing. It's weird. You're readjusting your whole life. Something happens inside your brain where you're like, you don't know what to do with yourself.
You know.
But then you get over it, and you're going to have a better time.
Yeah, I know. I need to lower my expectations, though, because I picture, like, I'm going to be drinking gallons of water and have, I'm just walking down the street with cartoon bluebirds landing on my shoulder, just like, hey, how you doing?
Doing a racist.
Yeah.
Singing a racist song.
Yep. And,
you can drink water.
Yeah.
It's not that hard. You can drink water now.
I know. No, I do drink lots. I drink lots of water at work. And then I'm like, this cancels out my alcoholism.
Uh-huh.
Do you ever feel that way after like binge drinking for 2 weeks straight? You take one day off and have a seltzer and it's like scrubbing.
Look at me, Lance Armstrong.
Yeah, exactly. It's
like Mr. Universe over here.
It's like
I should play in the NBA.
Did you see Donald Trump, our commander-in-chief, said that...
Commander-in Cheetos.
Yeah, commander-in-queef, said that there is a war on Thanksgiving happening. Haven't looked into it yet, but...
No.
That's the word on the street. There's a war on Thanksgiving. Why? I couldn't tell you. People don't want to eat turkey anymore?
What the fuck? No, I don't know anything about this.
That can't be real. I don't know.
He's getting impeached. He has more... He should focus on that. Did you see his rally where he's throwing out hats? And he said bullshit at the rally, and the news was playing it over and over again.
Really?
Yeah, and
there's
the news
no
is so
rules.
Fucking stupid. They're like, no, if you have small children, you know, because the fucking quote-unquote liberal media or whatever, and they're so disgusted with Trump's language,
mm-hmm.
like pretending like they've never heard the word bullshit before.
Oh my God.
If you have small children, you might want to ask them to leave the room because we're going to play a very disturbing clip. And he's just like,
did they really say disturbing? That's insane.
I don't know if they said disturbing, but something along those lines, you know?
I would have so much more respect for him if he just went full out, like, all right, you fucking idiots.
He comes close sometimes. Yeah. His rallies, if you watch footage of his rallies, it's so silly.
Yeah.
It's so funny to watch that and then watch like a Bernie rally where Bernie's like, I want to do this, this, and this.
Yeah.
And because this, and this reason.
Mm-hmm.
And then you watch a Trump rally and it's a fucking...
Rosie O'Donnell's a pig.
Yeah, it's a Comedy Central roast of...
I do like it when he goes after Rosie O'Donnell. It's so strange.
He did that immediately after he got elected. I'm so honored to be here and Rosie O'Donnell's fat.
Fuck you, Rosie O'Donnell.
You dumb bitch.
It's so funny because she's like, who even thinks about her anymore? It's great. I love that. Is that some old beef from like The Apprentice or something?
I think it's from The View days when she was on The View. I don't know.
One of the reality shows that our president was on. Mm-hmm. He had a beef with
maybe it was
celebrity Rosie O'Donnell.
Maybe it was Home Alone 2. The set of Home Alone 2. War on Thanksgiving, huh?
War on Thanks-Patrick's Day. There is a war on Christmas. Still?
I worked at Fox News when the war on Christmas like started. They started all that shit with the graphics like, boom, boom! They're trying to take, you know, snowmen away from our children.
No! That's so fucking stupid. I support the war on Christmas. Fuck you if you think Christmas is the only thing people are celebrating.
Yeah.
I really don't think...
You can't say Merry Christmas anymore.
You have to say Happy Holidays. It's like, yeah, not everyone celebrates Christmas. Right. It's weird. It's not like... I don't think anyone's going to be, like, offended, but it's fucking weird if you don't celebrate Christmas and somebody goes, hey, Merry Christmas. Yeah. You have to be like, thank you.
It's like being like, Happy Birthday. It's not my birthday. Well, you trying to cancel my birthday?
It's my whole family's
birthday. It's my whole family's birthday. You can't get rid of birthdays. This nation was founded on birthdays. Fucking die.
It's like we all still embrace, like, we're putting up Christmas lights and holly and elves and Santa and shit. Like, everyone's still doing that in, like, corporate stores. That's not going away.
Yeah, it's just a corporate holiday anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
just
man.
Just like Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
They're just trying to exploit.
Hey, now you're speaking my language.
On Valentine's Day every year?
Yeah, Catherine's birthday.
Yeah, on Valentine's Day every year, Ian posts happy birthday to all women.
Nobody likes that.
And I get, it's actually very funny, but I'm like, but buy me things. And
I always do. I always buy you stuff.
You know what? I read an interview that Pete Davidson, they're like, how are you so successful in relationships? It's like, are you? Because you've gone through five in the past, like 5 months. But he's like, well, I just treat every girl I date like a princess because that's what she deserves. Mm. And that's what women deserve. Like a princess.
Lock her in a tower.
Yeah.
And like.
Force her to marry her cousin 13. Or something. But
my favorite Pete Davidson bit is where he's in a relationship. You know what I mean? Like, what's your favorite
what do we know
sketch?
About Pete Davidson?
He's in Teen Beat or whatever.
But then a part of me was like, oh, a princess?
I treat you like a fucking princess, you asshole. I still want to go back to the riff where I call your birthday a corporate scam by the greeting card.
My birthday. Yeah. My birthday is a corporate. I didn't realize that's what you were saying.
Yeah. The corporation's just trying to sell birthday cards.
So, well, I remember you telling me once when we first started dating that you didn't, not that you didn't believe in birthdays, but that you were like, birthdays are bullshit. And I was like, yeah, definitely. But if my birthday rolls around.
I don't think that. Right. No, come on. I hate this when you fucking twist
what,
my
don't
words
you
around.
Put your finger in my face.
You know, we've had discussions like this. It's more like if you're in your late 20s or in your 30s or something and you expect people to have a birthday weekend for you. It doesn't apply to the person you're with. The person you're with should try to make the day as special as possible.
Yeah,
remember that one fucking birthday I had for you where we went to we went to that steak restaurant?
Made up.
Smith and Walensky's?
No.
High-end
it was
shit.
Steak and Shake.
Then we went to the Comedy Cellar to see your favorite, Aziz Ansari.
Grizzly Bear.
Aziz Ansari put his whole fist in her mouth.
On my birthday.
Yeah. And then afterwards, I had all of our friends at a bar nearby.
I didn't like any of those people. Wow. I'm kidding.
Wow.
Thank you. I know. I love you.
This year, you get shit. You get nothing.
No, I love it.
Not even a bonbon.
I really don't. Ian, don't you take my bonbons away. It's all
You're
I have.
You're addicted.
I do like celebrating people's birthdays, but I agree that if you're like past, honestly, like after 21, like people should go out of their way. And also 30, because that's like a huge milestone. But like once you're past some of those big ones, You can't sit around and then expect people to be like, why is no one throwing me a birthday party? I understand
you
that.
Throw your own birthday party.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you go to a bar and everybody buys you your drinks all night.
Yeah.
And you get to see all your friends. And that's fucking enough.
That's great. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we're on the same page. I don't know why I'm being punished for something we agree on.
Because it's fun for me.
Okay.
Because that's how
this
women
typical
work.
Typical women bullshit.
It's enjoyable.
All right. Well, we got to go to Stand Up New York to do some comedy.
Yeah. Well, I hope you guys have a good Thanks Patrick's Day, and I hope your loved ones have a good Thanks Patrick's Day. I'll be in the Poconos if you need me.
And I'll be here.
And Ian will be here.
Blasted playing God of War. Jesus Christ. Can we talk about God of War
for a
second? No,
I hate watching you play God of War, and now I have to listen to you talk about God of War.
I just want to say one thing about God of War.
What?
It made me excited for virtual reality because it looks so beautiful. And eventually we're just going to get to live in, you know, the fairy realm.
Yeah, you guys are. And then girlfriends are just going to be watching their boyfriends run around with
VR goggles. You could be eating virtual bonbons. And having like some shirtless Chippendales guy, I don't know, listen to your stories or whatever.
I don't want that. I want you to hate listening to my stories.
You can put my face on that guy.
No.
And then you don't have to see my, early winter chub.
You can
just see some handsome tan fella.
I wouldn't get the same joy out of...
No more freckles, no more pink boy, pink Irish.
Well, the face will still be a pink freckle face.
You can make me more tan in the facial area.
Do you think I'll be able to do that?
Sure.
Do you think in the future with VR we'll be able to like take each other and improve? I'll just have these like basketball tits that can't fit through doors.
Uh-huh.
And like a totally different face.
Is that what you
face?
Think I
what?
Want to improve on you? you think I want basketball tits?
Yeah.
I would do more editing to like personality wise.
Okay. Okay. Likewise.
Like if I were to take you out for like a wonderful dinner on your birthday, you would just be like, you don't even have to thank me. I mean, it would be nice, but you could just have a good time and not just kind of, you know.
I don't, but then it wouldn't be
surly.
Me, you know. It
That's
wouldn't be
true.
Me. You'd be like, this is a whole different girlfriend.
Yeah.
Also, I think you would edit it so that the whole time I'm just
mute.
Wah, wah, wah,
yeah.
Wah. Wah, 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 wah,
well, why would
wah.
I even bother? I would just,
yeah,
you know.
Make it silent.
Let's do away with the whole head part.
Just a pair of tits.
Yeah, and that's why God of War is great.
Okay, well, guys, this has been an ad for God of War.
Mm-hmm. This episode has been brought to you by God of War.
By God of War and salty girlfriends all over this great nation.
Okay, hail Satan.
Hail Satan.